Hello everybody, it's John Hodgson back again, and I'm lucky to meet my friend Ken Cuttle this afternoon. Ken and I both sing in the Tavern and Choral Society, and whilst we were brewing up the other week for the people at half time, we just happened to mention a chance remark, and it led me to thinking, well, this is a very interesting man. I'm sure he's got a good tale to tell. And sure enough, he has. So I'd like Ken to introduce himself, and it's all about this van or vehicle that he drives, and perhaps he'll explain, you know, how he came to be in this sort of interested area, and you know, how it's sprung up over the years. So, Ken, over to you.
Thank you, John. Hello, everybody. My name's Ken Cuttle, and I've recently retired, and I took up a volunteer job with guide dogs, and I'm a volunteer driver with them. Initially, it was using the car to take guide dogs and guide dog owners to appointments, or even prospective guide dog owners to wherever they need to go. And then when I was doing this, there was a call went out from the mobility centre at Leeds, asking for volunteer drivers to help with what they call the sensory unit. The sensory unit is basically a van, and if you think of it, probably about the size of a Tesco's delivery van. So you don't need an HGV license or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just normally a car license to drive it. And what it is it's like a Lego set that you sort of break out. So the side flips up, steps go up there. There's a ramp that leads up to the entrance of this door, and then once inside, it's completely dark. But what they've got in there, they've actually kitted it out into what happens or what it's like if you're visually impaired. So you've got things like the first thing you do is you go in there and you feel underfoot, but because these are sighted people that are going in there, we put blindfolds on them, still have some residual sight, residual light,
yeah,
but not a lot. So you go in there and then you start feeling your way around. Well, what is it that they're feeling? They haven't got sight now because they've got the blindfold on, so what is it? And also, how long will this take them to go around? So if you can imagine that you put yourself in a room, and then you've got to go round all the four walls.
Right.
So you're feeling up and down the wall, not just what's in front of you. And those of you who are visually impaired will understand this, because nothing is just in front of you. It's above you, below you, and also what you're standing on. Yeah. Where am I in relation to where I want to be?
Right.
So am I on grass? Yeah. Am I on tactile paving? Am I on, in a playground? Is it squishy underfoot? What is it where I'm stood?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, as I say, on the walls, we've got different things. We've got something that simulates brick, fencing. And for some reason, they've put vegetation, and it basically all it is artificial lawn on one section of the wall. But I think that is to give an example of vegetation. The other thing as well is ivy leaves. And again, those of you who are visually impaired will understand about leaves coming down in front of you and attacking you. If you've got some sight, yes, possibly you can see them. But if you're walking along a pavement,
yes,
and there's overgrown branches,
right.
You get whacked in the eye.
Mm, yeah.
There is a story of mine where I was attacked by a bramble bush. It involved my time in the Royal Navy, and I've had a drink or two, and I was wending my way home, and this bush came out from nowhere
to attack
me. But that's another story for another day, I think. So it's just things like that. Then you've also got things like, there's something in there, a wheelie bin. Yeah. So you've got to recognise it by touch.
Yeah.
And I remember once at, I think it was Leeds, there was some children's gathering at Leeds, and someone thought it was a 46-inch plasma television. But it is in fact a wheelie bin. And again, those of you who are visually impaired will know about pavement furniture. and what harm it can do.
Yes, yeah.
Because you're forever tripping over it. There's also bicycle handlebars in there, and again, people think it's pipe work, but it is actually bicycle handlebars. And when I was saying this to a visually impaired person who was helping out at one event I was at, she said, well, is it in the middle of the floor? And I said, no, we can't put it there. She said, well, that's not realistic then, because bikes are always left on pavements and I always trip over them.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, yeah, right.
So, you know, it's things like that. And the other thing is cars, car tyre. That's the final thing in there. And again, most people understand when they feel it. Yes, they can feel a car tyre. They can tell what it is. But again, I don't think it was the same person who asked about wing mirrors. And I said, unfortunately, no wing mirrors. But again, it's if you are visually impaired, then wing mirrors will stop you from going.
You get bruises all over the place.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So again, it's just things like that. And it's, I suppose, it's how long? Probably 9 steps down, 9 back. So 18 to 20 steps. So how long does it take to do 18 to 20 steps? You're talking, what, 30 seconds?
Right, yes.
Normally,
yeah.
Right, so for a sighted person, 18 to 20 steps, about 30 seconds, put you in the van, it could take you a minute. And again, you're deciding what it is.
Everything's slower. And
Always seems longer. The van always seems longer, because after people come out, take the blindfold off them, ask them what they found. It's not a test, but, you know, we could turn it into a test. Ask them what they found and how long do you think it was. And then when they go back in with sight, it's, wow. I wondered what that was. You know, and again, I suppose the sort of, not the crunch, but it's like the punchline. Yeah, you're all right. You've been in there for X amount of time with a blindfold on. Mm. You've come out and you're taking blindfold off. Mm. Right? Those with a visual impairment cannot do that.
You know, all the time, yeah.
And again, it's this thing that even those with a white cane, they still have, I won't say difficulties, but they can get round. But put a guide dog with them and all of a sudden, the guide dog, it's like opening of the waters. They just stride along with the dog.
And it really does make so much difference.
Absolutely. And all those those clients that I've taken, guide dog owners, to different events or different appointments, they've always said that their life has changed when they've got the guide dog and they wish they'd done it sooner.
Right.
So, it is this. And I suppose the unfortunate thing is, yes, there's a waiting list for guide dogs. Guide dogs is a charity and it's all voluntary subscriptions. There is no government help at all. Nothing from the government. So everything is a donation. And when you see a guide dog owner and a guide dog and they're working as a partnership, you think it's lovely.
Mm.
But you see, the other thing as well is when you see them working, you think, oh, isn't that a lovely dog?
Yeah, right.
What a lovely dog. I must go over and talk to it.
Ah, yes.
You know, and again, stories abound where dogs have an attention span, possibly longer than mine, right? But it's still an attention span. And if you spoil or break that attention span, the guide dog owner then has to sort of reset.
Right, yes.
I'm using a technical word.
Yeah, I understand that.
A technical word there. Mm. Reset, I think, right, that's where we're going, yeah? So if you see them out and about, yeah, admire them from afar, right? But if they are stopped and they are sat down, then please, you know, approach them. But speak to the guide dog owner, not the guide dog. Speak to the guide dog owner and ask if whatever you want, right? The majority, in fact, I would say all guide dog owners will be happy to talk about their dogs, right? But again, you know, it's this thing about if they're crossing the road, yeah, that guide dog is the difference between life and death, possibly, with the guide dog owner. Mm-hmm. Don't interrupt it.
No.
Please do not interrupt the work. I remember I have a pet chocolate Labrador who is not, she's not a guide dog, but brought up as a guide dog puppy. because partner has guide dog puppies. So there's one rule in the house. So, you know, the basic commands are all the same. And I'd taken the chocolate Labrador to Hebden Bridge Market. And we were sat there by the cheese store. Now, Labradors will do anything for food.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they are just food driven. So we were sat there by the cheese store, and she was sat there by my side, absolutely still, because I told her to sit, I told her to wait. She knew what was coming, possibly a treat. She could smell the cheese. Is it that cheese? Is it the cheese? Is it the cheese? Okay. It wasn't the cheese, but that's by the by. And somebody came up and said, "What a lovely dog," and started stroking her. Well, I got the lead sort of wrapped around my wrist.
Yes.
And my arm virtually came out of the socket as the dog went, "Oh, someone to speak to." You see, and this woman said, "Oh, she's a bit lively, isn't she?" And I'm not sure whether I said it or whether I thought it, which was, "Yes, she wasn't until you spoke."
Mm-hmm.
And it is that, it's breaking that concentration.
So they should really, people should really speak to the owner
speak
first.
To the owner.
And that's the protocol to go through.
It is.
I see. It
really is. And again, if the guide dog is working, do not interrupt that work. Do not do anything that will distract the dog.
Now, you mentioned leads a while ago and children and so on. What sort of places do you take this van to?
The van is booked through through the mobility unit at Leeds. And it's different places. We've done the Halifax Gala. West Yorkshire, the police station at Halifax had an open day. We've done it there.
Right.
So it's fates, galas, it's schools, done a number of schools, done it's Greenhead College, no, New College, I think, at New Hay Road, Huddersfield.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the local area. Do some work with universities. The other thing with universities is they sometimes get the puppies in.
Right.
Puppies to you and I, well, puppies possibly to you, are those little fluffy things, about 6 to 8 to 10 weeks old.
On the Andrew
dogs
Sandler,
grow up
yeah.
very, very fast.
Right.
And there's very few puppies because, A, they can't go out and do it because they're being
trained.
They're being trained. But, you know, they can stay there for half hour or so. But the, shall we say, those dogs waiting to go into training, right, for about 8, 9, 10 months.
Right, yes.
Something like that. Then, yes, they're still not fully fledged guide dogs, but they can stay out a little bit longer.
Right.
You know, because they do need to regain their energy. You know, so again, it's when we say puppies, 12-month-old is not a little fluffy Andrex.
No, first must be much
it's a lot
bigger. And so when you take these dogs out, these partly trained puppies, then they're still under training,
mm-hmm.
and that is part of the training, going to see and meet different people at these different events. Because you must have to expose them to all sorts of different situations, I suppose.
Well, it is. The puppy walkers have lists of what they can do. And it includes things like introduce them to men with beards. Now, I'd be all right. I have a beard.
Yes.
You ain't got a beard.
No,
right?
Yeah, I'm working on
but
it.
But glasses.
Yes.
See, introduce them. And things like, we had an event in Halifax late last year, and there was two police horses there.
There was
a couple of guide dogs there, and they look up at the police horse and think, "Oh, that's a nice playmate," or not. You know, they do need a wide range of things, and even with the Disability Act, guide dogs should be able to go everywhere with their owner.
Right.
Guide dog puppies, because they're not the assistance dog that's qualified, are only let into stores with the agreement of the management, but most stores do know why they're going in there and what they have to do.
Right, so how would a store manager know the difference between a dog in training and a dog fully trained?
A dog in training will have a yellow circle top that says guide dog puppy in training. A fully fledged guide dog will be in harness, so it's white harness, it's got the yellow fluorescent.
So that's how you tell the difference, yeah. Right? Yeah. I see. Yeah. So how far afield do you have to go with this then? You say the management sort of will ring you up and say, yeah, right, there's an event on.
Yeah. This very morning, someone has rung me up and said, look, I've got an event on this date, are you free? Yes, I am. It's at Leeds Beckett University.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going there with the unit, don't know exactly what it is. I'll go there, set it up for whatever, it takes half hour to set up, fully fledged. Oh, I forgot to say, there's also sound in there. There's a sound of traffic and the sound of birds singing and water flowing.
I see.
So, yeah, you know, it really is a street scene in the sensory unit in.
Right, so it's not just tactile things.
And no,
it's,
yeah.
You won't have smells as well.
No, smells.
Not the Viking, Jorvik Centre.
No, not smells at the moment. And the other thing, as I was saying, with universities, have these puppy days where students can actually go and meet dogs, right? Because some have come from home recently, they may be new students, and it's to give them a relaxation.
Yes.
Because grabbing all the dogs here, right, and just stroking it is very, very relaxing.
Mm.
Plus the other thing is, these dogs are just so, so loving.
Yes.
That they really are.
So do you have anything to do with these? So there are these therapy dogs, aren't there? Not blind dogs in that sense, but shall we say petting dogs? Do you have anything to do with them?
No. Other than having a dog that I pet.
Well, you've seen it.
That does work.
Gosh, right. So you must have had some fairly... Well, I don't know, amusing incidents, I suppose.
Well, it's different because with children, they go in there, yeah, it's an adventure. Adults go in there and they think, ooh, is this what is going to happen? Or I know someone with sight loss. Is this what it's like for them on a 24/7 basis? And people have come out laughing, people have come out crying.
Yeah.
You know, and it really is, you know, it's how it affects people. The other thing as well is at one event, there was a guide dog owner, a young lad, and his children were there. And the children came through the unit. I'm not sure whether the mother came through with them, but the children definitely did. And then there was a discussion afterwards about, yeah, this is what your dad has to do on a daily basis.
I see, and yeah.
I think it's... It does give them the better understanding, an insight. It's
an empathy with the situation. Yeah.
You know, it better understanding, I think it's the wrong word, but it gives them some idea of what's going on.
Mm. And you said you go to universities and so on, and you get these young people who perhaps come away from home for the first time and that sort of thing. Do you get any sort of take-up from this? Oh, I'd like to do this. Any serious interest in this sort of work?
Well, again, it's one of the Leeds universities, one of the campuses at Headingley. I think they have the business management suite there. And one of the things they do there is look at charities. And one of the charities that's been chosen for the past few years, I believe, is Guide Dogs. And I know that normally when I take the van out, I'm the one that, you know, takes people in, counts them in and out, make sure there's no one left at the end of the day. when we go to that, or when the unit goes to there, the students actually take that on. And I think there was one other event where one of the students wanted to know, I think that was the Huddersfield, wanted to know if there was something else that she could do.
Mm.
But there is a volunteer consultant, Ruth Wood, at Leeds Mobility Centre, who will advise on what is available to people. And, it, you know, there's a wide range of things, you know, puppy walkers, driving, as I do. It depends where you've got or the time you've got to be able to do these things.
Mm, yeah.
You know, even fundraising, you know, if you can go and help at a stall at some fate, I mean, say the Halifax branch goes to the Hebden Bridge Vintage Car Rally.
Ah, yes.
You know, so again, you may see them there, the Halifax Gala, you know, and they're selling merchandise to raise funds for guide dogs, because as I say, there's nothing from the government. So everything is what you raise and what you're given. Mm. You know, so it's, can you spare 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 days, 20 days, or whatever? Mm. You know, I'm sure there is something for someone. I know that after a treasure at the Calderdale guide dog, so, you know, if anybody's
listening,
who can get in contact with Ruth.
thinking of which, could we sort of formalise that bit? If anybody was wanting to do anything in this line, who should they approach?
It is Ruth Wood, and it's Leeds Mobility Centre, right, at Headingley in Leeds. I believe that... what I will do, I haven't got the telephone number to hand, but I can certainly add it as an addendum, if we can do that.
Yes,
I'm not sure technically.
But right, thank you. So this that's the way to get through it. I suppose if you Googled work for the blind or something like that, there'd be a whole... menu would come up, wouldn't there?
Mm. Yeah, there is the website, you know, the guide dogs, I think it's guidedogs.org.uk,
right,
I think. Okay. I could be wrong on that as well. It's I don't Google it a lot, so but it's just it's the Leeds Mobility Centre,
right?
And I believe there's an 0800 0845 number for that, but its location is at Headingley,
right,
in Leeds.
Well, I'm sure people will be able to access that through what we've given them already. I mean, if anybody wants to get onto our local newspaper, it's tntod.org.uk. That's our website, and you will have things like this, and between us, I'm sure people will be very interested in what you've had to say. I've been fascinated because, as I say, that chance remark when we were brewing up the other day, I thought, what is this century run? Now I know.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Ken. I've enjoyed that, and I'm a lot wiser now than I was before. And obviously, the people that we're doing this for will have a lot of sympathy and feeling for what's going on. And it's nice to know that they've got people like yourself on their side helping. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.